Hey everybody, welcome. This is another podcast in our series of healing sessions where we talk about all things healing. Today I have a very lovely and special guest to me. I've been working with James for what seems like a lifetime, James, now at this stage. James was a client and is now a practitioner trainer in our programs. He's been through it all, per James, through it all. He's been through the emotional mastery program, he's been through the anxiety program, and he is now currently working through the clearing program. We, before all of that training, we worked therapeutically together, and James is going to share a very personal story of the transformation from being trapped in perfectionism to moving towards this healthy, happy, well-adjusted and successful place in himself internally. So we're going to talk about that. So if you have been trapped in perfectionism, if you've been striving so difficult in a difficult place, trying to create, trying to move away from the pain within, then this episode is for you. So all that I'm going to do is hand over to James here. He's going to give us a wee introduction, tell us a wee bit about himself, and then we're just going to let this flow and see where we go. James, what does that sound like?
Sounds perfect.
So introduce yourself. Tell everybody what I already know about you.
Thanks, Shauna. Yes, so I am a therapist and coach, and I help driven high achievers and perfectionists who are experiencing burnout, anxiety, and stress symptoms, mental and physical, to get lasting health, happiness, and success. And I do that because that's very much been my journey. In brief, you know, this goes back years. I started to experience anxiety symptoms, especially in my early 20s and through my 20s. It was really, really difficult time for me. Very scary experience. Along with that, I got physical symptoms like chronic pain as well, which was very confusing for me at the time. And initially, I didn't even identify as having anxiety. It was just, for me, it was just a bunch of physical symptoms, which, I mean, literally at times I thought I had some kind of debilitating disease here. Wow. Yeah.
You didn't recognize it as such. You didn't recognize it as anxiety.
Not initially, no. Physical. Right. Yeah, initially it was, for me, it was completely physical. Now, you and I now know, or I know, and you've taught me, and help me to understand that I was in massive disunity at the time. I was not at all connected with my emotional experience. So for me at that time, the concept of being stressed or anxious didn't click at all.
Brilliant.
So back then I would have said to you, you know, okay, I've got these symptoms. Why? And I saw the doctors, by the way. I did the medication, I did the physio, I did all that stuff. I would have said to you back then that I was a perfectionist. I would have said it proudly. I would have said I was a high achiever, or I was highly driven, and I would have said that proudly. That would have all been positives for me at the time. And so I was cracking on with career and personal life and trying to become the best version of myself. I was very into personal development, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highly driven and motivated, basically. These symptoms started happening, and I went through this early period where I was seeing the doctors, physio, medication. You know, yeah. I had pain, especially in my hands, diagnosed as repetitive strain injury, then carpal tunnel, given the wrist braces, given the ergonomic keyboard, given the pills, right? Given the physio rehab, and going in the direction of surgery potentially.
Wow.
You know. Yeah. In brief, what happened was I stumbled across the possibility that actually those symptoms might be what we call psychogenic. So caused by psychological causes, right? That opened up a new door for me. And as I explored that, I discovered, okay, anxiety, like, okay, these are known symptoms of anxiety, these physical body symptoms, pain and others.
So that's you being unaware of your body.
Completely unaware.
You mentioned that psychosomatic unity.
Yeah.
Just running, driving, pushing, wanting,
yes,
driving, moving, yeah, every day, having these physical symptoms, not being really aware of what they are, and then coming into awareness, and then there's a shift. So there's a shift to this physical sense of your body now. You're still striving, Is that right? You're still moving. You're still wanting. Oh, yeah. You haven't let that go yet.
Not at all. Still there. Not even considered I should let it go. Yeah.
Brilliant. And you haven't connected the two yet. You haven't connected the striving with this, with these symptoms yet.
Precisely. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And yeah, you know, I remember, I mean, my experience then was, I remember my first panic attack.
Wow.
And I remember that the panic attack occurred around, like, basically for me, I was experiencing these physical symptoms and I was starting to think, do I have some debilitating disease here? What is this going to do? I have the pain in my hands. Can I do this work that I've been doing, which is computer-based? So like using that keyboard, right? I was starting to struggle with that. And what happened was those symptoms then fed back into my, what I now know is called wounding, and my fear of imperfection and not being perfect and not achieving. So the whole thing created yet more of a crisis. And, you know, that's where, again, I experienced that first panic attack.
I'm going to slow you down there, because I think anybody listening to this is really that. What you just said there is really important, because what you said is you're not aware of any inner pain. You're just at this moment aware of the physical symptoms of anxiety. You're aware of the panic and you've had a panic attack. But the panic attack seems to have happened because the awareness that these physical symptoms, the awareness of this pain in your body could actually stop you from working, could actually stop you from achieving. Yeah. Now, if you're striving to achieve, if you're striving for perfection, and you get physical symptoms, like you're talking about the physical symptoms of anxiety, but we, for anybody else listening, we could be talking about the physical symptoms of burnout. We could be talking about the physical symptoms of exhaustion, which is burnout. We could be talking about the physical symptoms of overwhelm, of, you know, foggy thinking, all of those symptoms. So if you get those symptoms and then you then attach that meaning to those symptoms, that this is the end of the road for my success, this is the end of the road for my striving, then it makes sense that you'd have a full-blown panic attack, because that's the worst thing that can happen.
Exactly that. Yeah. And, you know, and yeah, I see that so often with the people who I'm speaking with, of course, and working with. So yeah, you know, so that's where I was then. And I was in ways very, you might say, very lucky to even have that possibility presented to me. Hang on. Yeah. So this could be something about stress and emotion and anxiety, right? This is all I kind of had. Yeah. But again, so very briefly, what happened was a cardiologist did their tests on me. I did a load of tests with other professionals too, but a cardiologist tested me, came back, said, James, physically fine. I think this is anxiety. Wow. And I mean, for me at the time, that was so outside my frame of reference that I actually got angry towards that cardiologist. That just made no sense to me at all. And now I would actually say this was kind of my mechanisms in the mind, my mind at work, but I basically immediately interpreted that as them copping out on a physical disease they can diagnose, you know? So I got really angry at that. I went away, but, you know, over time they had initially started to open that door for me, and basically combinations of a bit more reading here and there, a few more comments here or there, just helped me start to explore that path. I was cut off in hindsight. I didn't know it at the time at all. At the time, I had no idea what I was not connected to. I didn't realize I wasn't connected to my emotions, but I was not. And but that door was opening. So I started to explore therapy.
Yeah.
I found, for example, a specialist in pain.
Yeah.
Who was also a hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
I did some therapy with her. It was beneficial. It helped me. But at the same time, the symptoms did return at some point. But overall, it certainly helped me move forward. And it also sparked an interest in me in hypnotherapy in particular. So I did sort of later on, I did train in that too and qualify in that. So my path was moving forwards there. I was moving into exploring my emotional well-being and something deeper within me. And obviously that lasted years, you know, and I continued to develop, and I sort of started to develop. I both overcame a lot of the initial symptoms and moved forward, and I started to develop as a therapist and coach.
So it sounds to me like what you're saying is that as you grew in knowledge, as you grew in awareness of these physical symptoms, then you started to be able to manage them. You started to be able to move away from them.
Yeah.
So we're still striving. We're still in perfection.
We're still here,
but we're managing it better. It's a classic journey. I have no idea what's going on. Absolutely no idea what's going on. Got these physical symptoms, but they're related to God knows what. Oh God, I'm in awareness that these physical symptoms might be something deeper in me, but hold on a wee minute. Just let me manage them. Just let me soothe them so that I'm not in that panic, so that I can still be striving, so I can still be pushing. I just want to try and manage that better, so I can still get to do what I want to do.
So
you see how you're moving. And then what happens then after that?
Well, so what happens there, and I'll just reiterate something you were saying, I guess, to make this really clear. I had not at that stage, it got to the point where I was a practicing therapist and I was better than I used to be health-wise, right?
Yeah.
And I was able to manage my symptoms better. My symptoms were less troubling to me. But what was going on was, so I did not at that point have perfectionism really in a big way on my map. I didn't view it as a
problem
with clarity yet. Yeah. I kind of, in that space, I did do some reading and I came across the fact that perfectionism correlates, like it's known, you know, there's research out there that shows that perfectionism does tend to correlate with symptoms of anxiety and physical symptoms like chronic pain. So I was aware of that, right? But it wasn't really like with clarity a problem to me. And so, yes, I was still, without really thinking about it like this, I was still doing perfectionism, if you will.
Yeah.
It was still my modus operandi. It was still my like paradigm, the way I was going through life. Yes. And so I was practicing as a therapist, developing in that space. And, you know, I was better health-wise than I was. But in that kind of space, I was then starting to experience basically repeat burnout. Repeat burnout and a kind of ups and downs of anxiety and the physical symptoms, right? You know, again,
I would imagine once you would get near burnout, I would imagine once you would get to that place where you're thinking this is going to fall apart, where you're trying and moving and moving and moving and pushing and pushing and pushing, and you get to that burnout, then you're going to lose everything, which would heighten the anxiety.
I mean, absolutely. And, you know, and really what happened, I think, is that at one of these times where the burnout was worse and when the anxiety symptoms were increasing, right? And that was, again, triggering that fear of imperfection. Not that I realized that was happening at the time, really, but a fear of imperfection, a fear that I won't achieve, a fear that maybe this is going to damage, ruin, possibly, right?
Imagine,
worst case.
And you could imagine the body's response to this is all over. You're never going to achieve. You're never going to you're never going to be able to thrive in this world.
Right.
What that would do to the mind and body, if that's your woundedness, if that's at the core of this, then I mean you're talking free fall.
Right. And you know, So this is where something really important happens, which is where basically through a mutual colleague, friend of ours, I discover you and your work, which in hindsight was a really, really unlikely turn of events, actually. So it is quite remarkable. And, you know, and for me, that was a massive massively important juncture in my path, both personally and in terms of my health and professionally. And so, yeah, you know, I was actually chatting to this mutual colleague friend of ours about this recently. And I was reflecting on how, if I hadn't discovered the clearing method and your path, your stuff, then I would probably still be in that space, I think, of repeat burnout, because essentially I don't see how I was really recognizing that this perfectionism piece and this high drive, like high achievement piece, was so important and such a like important like piece in what was causing my health issues. So I think I would have still been there somewhere form at the moment.
Would it be fair to say that up until we met, until we began to work together, you were working on the outer edges,
yes,
of the problem. You were working on what we call the secondary pain, what we now know is, I mean, you're as expert as me in secondary pain at this stage after all your training. So you're working on the outer edges of secondary pain. You're working on burnout. You're working on exhaustion. You're working at all the difficulties. And if we seek the, which is what was happening for you, and this is really important for anybody listening, if you seek to just fix those burnouts, then all you do is recover from burnout, get back on your feet, go back to the wheel.
That's exactly right.
And if you don't work at understanding why, what is driving this perfection, what is driving this need for striving, what is it that's happening here? Because the burnout in effect for you and the exhaustion and the physical symptoms and the anxiety were only symptoms of the striving and driving. And if you work on those, which you had been doing when you got to me, if you work on those, then you eventually exhaust yourself from ever getting ever better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. And yes, I had absolutely no concept, and I had never come across concept. And to this point, I haven't come across the concept anywhere else either, by the way, of what's primary pain. You know, and that's what's really important. I had not gone there at all. And so discovering you and your work was the first opportunity, the only opportunity I've had actually, of accessing and healing that primary pain. And that's exactly what has happened.
And so just for everybody else listening, let me explain this, right? So when James and I started working, I was ignoring the burnout. I was ignoring the symptoms. I was ignoring the physical pain. I don't think we even had a conversation until the very end about that. Because what I could see and what the clear method helps you do is you see, oh, that's all secondary stuff. What is happening at the core of this? And it's pain. But then there's a chosen, and well, let's talk about that. There's pain at the heart, not in the heart, at the heart of the issue. And that pain, I'm not saying this is your pain, James, I'm just being generic here, is worthlessness or uselessness or the fear of something or the fear of being something or being seen as something. And then within that, what happens is we choose ways to get rid of it. We choose ways to move away from it. We choose ways to soothe it, to move it, to stop it being a reality. So that's what we do as human beings. We call it, when I'm clearing the functions of the mind, we call it living out of the pain. Most of us live out of the pain and try to get away from it and don't want it. Your vehicle for getting away from the inner pain was perfectionism. Your vehicle to get away from the pain was striving. Your vehicle to get, so if you want to talk about the vehicle in which you got away from that pain and how when somebody's listening to this now thinking, dear God, I have those vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And what am I trying to escape? So you want to explain a wee bit about the vehicle that you had then?
Yeah. I kind of want to, and I want to do that by, I think, starting by saying that what we're talking about now was completely outside of my conscious awareness. When I, even as a qualified, experienced therapist, to the point I was when I first, arrived in that consultation with you. This was totally outside of my awareness, right? And so I had no awareness of what we're calling primary pain here. Okay. I had no awareness of that, zero. And but looking back in hindsight, here's what I know. I was carrying this primary pain within me, and it was an emotional pain. and it's on a deep unconscious level.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I want to say is that everyone has this in some way or form, by the way. So we've all got this. It's actually part of the human condition, and it's okay. Yeah, that's okay. So, but you know, it's normal if you have, if you're listening to this and you're like, I've got no sense of this being the case. Like, I don't, I know this doesn't click for me.
Yeah.
That's also okay, because we're talking about something very unconscious here. Okay. It wouldn't have clicked for me either initially at that early stage. Now, what I now know is that since a young age, very young age, since my childhood, I developed something that I call perfectionism. Perfectionism is a word, by the way. So for some people might have a different word for it, really, but I call it perfectionism. Now, so essentially, what is that? That's kind of seeking a state of perfection in me and in things I do.
Yeah.
And it's something which I learned to do at a very young age in order to try to get away from this deep emotional pain. I'm talking about this unconscious stuff, and basically to feel better, fundamentally to feel better. Yeah. And
yourself and about what the world was, what was available to you in the world.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. About myself and what was available to me in the world. And you know, so the seeds for that were planted when I was very young. And so I grew up, you know, went through my teens and so on into adulthood, and those seeds kind of continued to grow. And this thing called perfectionism continued to develop and develop layers and develop details and become a more bells and whistles on that vehicle, actually, to the point where, you know, by the time I was in my early 20s, I was, what I was seeking was things like, I was seeking, yes, financial success in my career, but I was also seeking, at that point, I was seeking to be a cool, attractive, likable person, to have a great romantic love life, right? To be physically fit, to have a good body, to blah, right? Yeah. By that point, this thing called perfectionism had evolved into all these areas of life. And I think that culturally, just to say, I think this is very common nowadays, you know, the Instagram generation.
And
so
personal development, under that, you're just plugging the fire on.
Right. Exactly. So yes. So I look back now and I would say I was kind of an achievement addict or destination addict, as it's sometimes called, right? So I was always looking forwards. Like, I want to get to this thing. I want to have this achievement, this experience. I want to cycle around the world. I want to travel Southeast Asia. I want to blah. And personal development itself, yes, was a way this manifested. I had the bookcase full of personal development books and all of it, you know? So by the time I was kind of in my 20s, that was what I was doing. And I just want to emphasize, in that space, it seems to make complete sense. Yeah. Like, that seems to great thing. Yeah.
There's no problem.
No problem.
Yeah, the only problem is burnout at this stage.
Yes,
the only problem is the exhaustion. The only problem is not getting to the gym. The only problem is that's the only problem.
Yes.
At this stage.
Yeah. At that stage, exactly. And then the problem is, hang on, why am I hands hurting? And why am I struggling for breath? Why am I feeling spaced out and dissociated and like I'm not really here? Why when I go to give a talk, am I shaking? And my voice quivering? Why is my sleep so bad?
And so that's the outer edges again. That's the secondary stuff. That's the, but no awareness. But you start to move on as we work together. You start to move on to the center of that awareness.
Yes, right.
And I was dismissive is the wrong word, but
no,
didn't allow you to play.
Yes, you were fully respectful and empathetic towards my perspective on everything and on where I would tend to think I should focus. But then you were skillful in guiding me to what was more important, which was actually towards that primary pain.
And in the working of the primary pain, then what we began to see is the more you heal that primary pain, the more that you, the more the need for striving, the intensity for striving dropped away. The vehicle, the way in which you got this wound healed in you started to dissipate, and then the burnout dissipated and the symptoms dissipated, but only from working on this central issue.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, so what we're talking about now is, so we're talking about what I'm really interested in doing, what's so important to me with my clients, which is, you know, helping to, you could say, heal that primary pain, that material there, that very unconscious emotion and thought, basically. And doing that and how that helps. But there's a lot of confusion around this bit. Because to the people, you know, to a lot of people who are listening, no doubt, right? You will, like me in the past, probably be in a state where it's quite a new idea to you that perfectionism is a problem. And that the way in which possibly you strive for achievement, perhaps, the
is
way
a problem, because it's a solution. The mind sees it as a solution. If I can strive, if I can be perfect, then I will achieve the opposite of this wound. I will achieve the opposite of worthlessness. I will achieve the opposite of nothingness. I will achieve the opposite of not enoughness. If I move away, if I use this, that's why we call it a vehicle. If we use perfection, if we use striving, like I strove to, I mean, part of my woundedness, the solution to my woundedness was nothingness, which was success, which was positivity, which was, you know, so I can completely correlate to what you're saying. What we're saying in this is very, very, that sometimes you don't see the vehicle. Sometimes you don't see the way in which you're moving as the problem. And you'll not recognize that as, you'll only see the burnout as the problem. You'll only see the outer edges of it. But when you started to heal that central piece, what happened to all that outer edges? What happened to the vehicle? What happened to the need for perfect? What happened to that in you?
The outer edges very naturally and automatically and unconsciously diminish and lose power and become less and less of a problem and fall away. And as for the vehicle of perfectionism, see, this, I think there's a lot of confusion about what we're saying here, right? If I put it like this, so what happened, right, as we were healing that primary pain, what happened to my perfectionism and my drive and my kind of like striving for achievement? Well, here's what did not happen. What did not happen is that I started to like embrace and love being, or to deliberately be imperfect. It's not like I deliberately kind of like deliberately decided I want to be imperfect now. I'm gonna like deliberately be crap at this. I'm gonna do nothing.
Do nothing, be nobody, do try nothing.
That's not what happened. And also what did not happen was that I went, I don't want to achieve anything. I just wanna, you know, I'm going to go like meditate on a mountaintop, or I don't know, or maybe I just want to, or watching Netflix all the time or something. Like, no, it doesn't. It's not like that either. So it's not like the, so yeah, that drive doesn't go, but instead on a very primarily unconscious level, like outside of my awareness, my decision making has changed, and it still changes to this day, and I'm still enjoying like the experience of this evolving. So what it means is that, like, okay, if I'm talking about, you know, let's say I'm doing a task, a work task, I don't know, something like that, then very unconsciously I will seek to do quality work, but I will naturally be aware of when I don't need to perfect this anymore.
Let me try and put it a different way, right?
Okay.
The pain of the desire for perfection is gone.
Yes.
Yep. And what remains is a willingness to do a good job.
Yes.
But not in a painful, not out of pain. And so the energy for striving in the energy and the difficulty and the wind up nature that often is part of the reason for burnout, reason for exhaustion, is gone. And in its place, there's an alignment with who you are and what you want.
Hugely, yeah.
Which is so natural and self-driven, but not out of trying to achieve for somebody else or have it look good. It's pure natural. It comes from a sense of self, and it's not trying to cover up pain or move away pain. It doesn't mean that your need for striving falls away, because you are who you are. You know, I healed my wound and I still want great things. I still want to create a great future, but I'm not coming at that from a place of pain. I'm coming for that from a place of peace and ease and nervous system regulation with a trust that it's happening. And you wake up like that every day is far better than having that treadmill and trying to run at it and force it and pull it and want it. And that's what you take away.
Absolutely. Am I understanding that? Yes. Yes. You know, another way that came to mind as well for me there, just to sum this up, perhaps another way too, is if we're talking about achievement, it's not what you do, it's why you do it.
Yeah.
So the old why for me in the past, not that I knew this, was that on a deep level, I had fears, I had emotional pain, and I was trying to get away from it. Yeah. And
so why now, you do that, which is a hard why. It's a driven why. It's a why that's relentless. It's a why that's sick in your tummy.
Unhealthy, not aligned with health. Yeah.
And it's a why that ruins your nervous system. It's a why that wake you up in the middle of the night, because it's the ghosts of this pain whispering at you.
Yeah.
That way, where you switch that way out and put in a healthy, aligned, who you are, then that's a different experience in this world.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. It's a much, there's just a lot less effort for a lot more gain. Joy and gain.
Yeah.
Hugely.
Yeah.
Hugely. Yeah. And, you know, okay, so you mentioned there that kind of, so it becomes more of an expression. The why becomes more, this is the true essence of me. And it's just what's natural and right and everything and what meets my values most. And and that's such an important piece, because what another thing that's happening here, right, is that when that primary pain is unhealed, then it is clouding and it's wrapped around your true essence of who you are.
You can't see yourself.
No,
you don't know yourself.
Yeah, again, not that I realized that back then. I didn't know I wasn't in touch with who I truly was, but I wasn't. And and all that wrapping, that prime, all that I'm using the word wrapping in a context that's different to wrapping as we speak out all the time. But if I put it like this, that primary pain was getting in between me and my true essence and who I truly am, and distorting that and sort of causing all kinds of problems. And just as that has been healed, it really has enabled me to get back in touch with, well, for the first time in my life, other than maybe my very, very early life, you know, it's the first time as an adult, I have been really discovering who I truly am and actually living as, you know, in my true essence. And
without the worry of perfection, without the worry of how you're seen, that all goes. And the ease that you love in that place.
It is, as you've said to me in many ways, you know, it's remarkable how when you do that, or as you do that, things just align. Things just start coming together better and better in quite remarkable ways. The whole thing gets easier and you start getting what you really kind of want and need,
what you need in life. And that idea of walking us as human beings away from secondary pain being the problem, the idea of seeing that, yes, it's a problem. Yes, burnout's a problem. Yes, exhaustion's a problem. Yes, anxiety's a problem. There's no doubt it is. But what is creating that? And then from what is creating that, which in your case was perfectionism, striving, and it's creating that burn, it's creating that exhaustion, why are you doing that? Why is that being done internally with such energy, with such need, with such power? Exactly. And we come, and that was what our work was, and I come in and say, well, there's why you're doing it. well, you tell me through your body, you show me why, what the primary pain is. We heal and move and soothe that, and we're out. And you're in that place that you're talking about. And that's fundamentally what you help your own clients do now, which is incredible.
Yeah.
No matter what stage they're at, but you're moving them from these stages and the ease and success in a in the same level, but at a different meaning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, it is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And yeah, and if you don't heal that primary pain, you're not getting there. You know, to be honest, in my experience, you will be in that constant, secondary. Like, yeah, that just like, okay, so fine. So, you know, yeah, you healed the burnout. So now you're back at work. And then, you know, the burnout comes again in a repeat, or some other issue comes up, relationship problem or anxiety here or blah. I mean, just
heal the anxiety, you manage the symptoms of anxiety, but you get a big flare again. And that's the difficulty with managing symptoms, managing secondary pain, healing secondary pain, only for it to show again and again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if we concentrate on why, which is all of the actions, the striving, the doing, the perfection, and you try to even heal perfectionism. Why, I didn't go near perfectionism. I wasn't even interested in perfectionism. We kept referring to it as the thing that helps you get the wound healed. So it became irrelevant when we were working on it. It's a thing. It's a thing that you do. It's an action that you have. It's no different than, you know, I don't want to draw parallels between addiction, but it's no different that, you know, it's an adaptive way of getting away from your pain. It's a really healthy societal, you know, good way of getting away from your pain, but it's still not the pain. It's still a secondary issue.
Yes. And again, you know, anyone who's listening needs to understand that if this concept of primary pain doesn't yet make sense to you, that's okay, because we're talking about something that's very deep and it wouldn't have made sense to me at the outset too.
You walk under it, don't you?
Yes.
You walk in.
Yeah.
But once you find it, you'll know, like, how soon in the session with me did you find that?
Well, it was very soon with you in my case, and it will, I'm sure, you know, that will vary. I had already been doing years of therapy and personal development and stuff. So I was at a certain stage already, but you know, it was actually in our very first actual one-to-one.
Yeah, but, and you're trained in being able to help people do that yourself.
Yeah.
Help people walk straight under it.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, whether you're on the outer edges of it, which is all the difficulty that comes out, whether you're in the inner ages of it, which is now hating perfectionism, because that can happen too. Now hating striving.
Yes.
Now hating that is not, that wasn't a problem last year, but it's a bloody problem this year. Mm. Know that you're closer to than ever to the middle of it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, it's just the next door, and it's really possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And frankly, I have not seen anything like the clearing method anywhere else in terms of actually then being able to experientially, like, to actually in practice get to go to that primary pain and then to be healing that.
And that was our journey, and it'll be your client's journey as well, which is incredible. So yeah, to be in that place, say, and to offer that place as a possibility for people, I think that's where we'll leave this, right? The possibility of being free from secondary pain and secondary striving, and but to be in that place seems a lovely place to leave this, the possibility of that. What do you think?
Yeah, lasting, it really is. It's lasting health, happiness and success. It's okay. It's the space where success is actually aligned with your health and well-being.
Yeah.
You know, it's awesome.
Yeah. Nice place to be,
to say the least, as an understatement. Yeah. Yeah.
And you wouldn't go back for all the tea in China, wouldn't you? Not?
No way. I mean, not at all.
Not at all. We can't go back anyway. Once you've done that on our work, you can't go back. So it's a nice place to give it. Hopefully that has landed for anybody that is stuck in that trap of perfectionism or burnout, or and that understanding the work that is required is to get to be free from that. It's difficult, but it's not as difficult as loving we all that multiple pain, and it's worth the journey. So if any of that resonates with you, then I'll put James's details below and you can reach out to him. And thanks for being part of this. And hopefully it inspired you in some way. Hopefully you can see where you are inside your own healing journey. And hopefully that this has added clarity to your healing and to the prospects of your future. Thanks for listening. See you all soon. Bye.